T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends.
And this is Overtime.
Let's do it.
Oh, yeah, it's 8:32. Good morning and welcome to July. All right, it's July 1st, Charlie Brennan. Are you glad we're halfway through the year, or are you a little concerned about what might what the rest of the year may have in store?
Honestly, I'd like to take a mulligan on this one, but yeah. don't you start the first day of the month by saying rabbit, rabbit, or is that...
I've not heard that.
I've not heard that.
Oh, never mind. Just my weirdness.
If it brings us good luck, do it.
Yeah, really.
Hi, Amy Marks-Kors.
Oh, hey, Debbie. How are you?
I'm good. I'm hoping July just sits quietly in the corner and doesn't bother anyone.
Yes, well, all signs are pointing that way, aren't they?
Yes, they sure are. No, not at all. In fact, let's start our conversation here talking about the thing that just will never seem to go away, and that is coronavirus infections. We had all hoped a few months ago that the heat of the summer and, you know, us taking protective measures and staying in our home, that everything would be fine by July. And yet here we are with Dr. Anthony Fauci saying coronavirus infections could reach as high as 100,000 per day if this current surge continues. He appeared before the Senate Health Committee yesterday, and here is what he had to say.
We are now having 40 plus thousand new cases a day. I would not be surprised if we go up to 100,000 a day if this does not turn around. And so I am very concerned.
Well, the lieutenant governor of Texas was on Fox News saying, I don't care what Dr. Fauci says. We don't need to hear from him anymore. We have people who have basically said, hey, coronavirus is over. I don't believe in it. I don't know. Those are just some reasons I'm possibly giving. I don't know, Charlie, if you have thoughts about why European countries seem to have been able to flatten this curve, but here we are now leading the world in the rise in coronavirus cases.
Yes, although I think per capita, we are still better off than at least 4 European countries, and they would be Spain, Italy, France, and the United Kingdom. So that's the per capita. It's really kind of a mystery. We did open things up. There have been a lot of people out and about in St. Louis, and yet we haven't seen huge spikes in St. Louis like you think there would be, with both the businesses resuming as well as people protesting and taking part in other activities. And we have that case out of Springfield where the Great Clips beauticians, 2 of them, had COVID-19, and they were in contact with 140 people. And according to the Springfield Greene County Health Department, not one case from that. So where are they all coming from? I'm not sure anyone's certain, but we do know it affects some people more than others. Those with comorbidities, Debbie, as well as the elderly. And I really think that those individuals have to be especially careful to stay away from everybody because people are just not social distancing. Last night, Beth and I took a walk. We're near a playground, tons of kids hanging out in very close proximity to each other. None had masks. You know, those kids' grandparents and maybe their siblings with diabetes, et cetera, have to stay away from those kids.
Yeah, you know, I don't think we know enough about COVID to be able to figure out why is it worse here and, let's say, in the United States versus Europe. Well, we don't even know why it's different, why the COVID cases are different in different parts of the United States. And I think one reason why something like this is so difficult in the United States is we have, it's such a large country with so many people, so many different occupations, so many different cultural norms, so many different cities with different densities. I mean, compared to Europe, the United States is like multiple countries, right? All jammed together trying to figure this out. And we've seen some different results in Europe. Germany had a setback. They were widely considered, you know, the paradigm of success stories. Well, they're having a setback right now as they've seen some cases spike. Now in Germany, those cases have been focused in lower income areas, meatpacking facilities and plants. Oh, we saw that in the United States as well. Sweden has seen a spike. So I think we just don't know enough about the biological mechanisms of COVID. We can't even figure out why it's worse in some parts of our country, much less why it's worse in some parts of the world.
Well, we do know, though, for example, that the United States tends to be larger than Europeans. You know, obesity is now technically obesity is the norm in the United States. And that does make people more susceptible to COVID-19. So a friend of mine who is in that position is basically completely quarantined within his own home, self-quarantine for that very reason. And I think that has to be at least part of the explanation.
Yeah, I think what stinks, though, is when we do talk about the older generation being more susceptible, you know, to think how long are they supposed to stay away from the entire world? You know, we're actually going out of town to visit my mom. I haven't seen her since Christmas, and we have a bunch of family coming in for it, and we have all decided that we better wear masks and not hug. It's going to be the weirdest family get together ever, you know, and it just, it stinks, but what do you do? We don't want to get my mom sick, and who knows? You know, she's in that age group. So
that also goes into the numbers, right? When you look at countries, how old are certain countries? You know, in Austria, there was a ski resort that was kind of a hotspot for COVID. So in Germany and Austria, you had very, very young people with COVID. So you weren't seeing the hospitalization rates and death rates that you saw in a much older country like Italy.
All right, we need to take a break. But when we come back, we'll talk about making young people wear masks, how they're going to like that, and another book about Trump and another court battle. So that and more on the way. It's 8:39. It is 8:42, round two of OT. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Amy Marks-Kors and Charlie Brennan. And we were talking about coronavirus. I think most young people are eager to get back to school. And I think parents who've had to homeschool are eager for that as well. Unless you are a homeschooler, and then you probably were just fine during all of this. But if you're heading off to college, the University of Missouri is now saying that they will enforce the wearing of face masks this fall, and they may discipline students who refuse to wear one. Students will also have an hour and a half to move in this year, so it's going to be very, like, scheduled. You got to get your stuff in and get out, so they can only have a certain amount of people in the hallways at the same time and a certain amount of people in the dining halls. So a lot more rigid. But Amy, do you think that students will have a problem with the mask rule?
Not at all, because college students are famously compliant and considered in all their actions, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's
maybe if you reward them with beer at the end of it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have a misconception. Okay. College students are going to be creative, is what college students are going to be this year. They will have the masks. They'll wear the masks. And this will be like one of those 1950s sitcoms where the kids are just trying to get around the hall monitor and then they get in the back room and they do whatever. I think that's how the masks are going to be.
You know, I think it's better to be on campus with masks than studying at home. I just believe the college experience is better when you're around other people and you can see the professor, and that's a big part of it. And I applaud the University of Missouri for doing what it can and trying to make the best of a really bad situation.
Yeah, and you have to. I mean, they have to do it. The university has to make this announcement. But my My guess is that instead of saying now the cliche, oh, it's like herding cats, it'll be like, oh, it's like getting college students to wear masks.
Herding tigers.
Yeah, it kind of
herding tigers.
It kind of makes dating difficult too, right? For those who are looking to hook up on a college campus, you can't really see what you're getting.
Debbie, you know, New York City did publish some guidelines on that, and they're quite hilarious. Maybe it's best left to another radio program.
Best left to another radio program. I saw those guidelines. But, Debbie, I remember one of our OT topics a while ago was the potential of having to wear goggles, too.
Yes.
I am just, if I had to wear a mask and goggles, oh, my gosh.
You know, even though I really hate wearing a mask, but I do it. You know, I do it. I don't like it, but yeah. I do it. But then I think to myself when I go out sometimes, you know, with a mask and sunglasses on, I am totally incognito. Like, nobody recognizes me. It's kind of like spy gear. You know what I mean? I don't have to wear makeup or anything.
Like, I agree. And the only problem is sometimes you can have an expression and the person near you is not really responding to it. So there's a little bit of a communication breakup there. But I played football, believe it or not, guys, until my sophomore year in high school. And I liken it to a football helmet, which is cumbersome, but you kind of get used to it. I hate the mask, really, because it just feels claustrophobic. But like anything, with time, you do get used to it.
I think the worst part is there's 10 times more what in my household. What? Okay. I'm sorry. I can't hear you through the mask. Well, I don't know if the Trump administration has set a record here, but there have been so many books written about the Trump administration over the past 4 years. Just in the past month, we've had John Bolton's book held up slightly in court because there was a lawsuit to try to keep it from being published. And now here's another one. A New York Supreme Court judge has temporarily blocked the release of President Trump's niece. Mary Trump has a new tell-all book, and the Trump family is suing to block it because she apparently signed a non-disclosure agreement in 1999 following the death of Fred Trump, who is her grandfather and President Trump's father. So the Bolton tell-all was not blocked, but this one was. Do NDAs really hold that much sway these days, Charlie? Is that why it's being blocked, you think?
Yeah, it's interesting. To get her inheritance, she had to sign a non-disclosure agreement, which that tells you a few things about that family. But I think overall, Simon & Schuster, the publisher, will prevail because the information in that book is about a significant public figure, in this case, the President of the United States, one-third of the branch of the federal government. And I think I think the public needs to know about the president in many ways. I felt the same way about John Bolton, even though I don't necessarily agree with him. I don't necessarily agree with his niece. I don't even know what's in the book. But overall, when you're writing about the President of the United States, I don't think that that information should be kept from the American people.
I don't know if it's different because it's a family member versus a federal employee, someone in the government. Honestly, there's safety in numbers for Trump. Like a tell-all book, what does that even mean anymore? What is there left to tell? And if you don't know everything, many people are just assuming the worst anyway. So there's safety in numbers. One of these books is dangerous. 100 of these books doesn't mean anything.
All right, we'll take a break here. And when we come back, there is a new poll out for what polls are worth. And maybe Amy will have a new place to hang out starting today. We'll get into all that and more. It's 8:49. It's 8:53. It is round three of overtime on KMOX. Charlie Brennan, Amy Markscores. I'm Debbie Monterey. And Amy said, you know, with all the books that have come out about Trump, they kind of become meaningless. Maybe polls sometimes are the same way. But we have an interesting one that has just recently been released by Gerhard Yang Research Group, which I've not heard of. But the reason this is interesting is because in the state of Missouri, it apparently has Biden at 48% and Trump at 46%. Charlie, thoughts?
Yeah, it's not good for the president. His numbers, according to Nate Silver of 538, are similar to Jimmy Carter in 76 and George Herbert Walker Bush in 1992, and we know both of them lost. In some of the battleground states, a plurality of voters say there's no circumstance for which they would vote for the president. Now, For this to be true in Missouri, that would be really tough for the president. I mean, if he loses Missouri, there's just no path to victory. One silver lining for him, or should I say one maybe ray of hope for the president, is he is so unpopular in many circles, people might be afraid to tell a pollster or reluctant that they support the president. So they might be a silent majority. That's possible. He's got 4 months to go. But overall, right now, it doesn't look good.
Yeah, I don't know anything. One of the numbers that has stood out, I think, to a lot of people was a new Pew Research Center poll, which found that Republican satisfaction with, quote, the way things are going in this country dropped from 55% in April to 19% yesterday. And that's a big drop. Now, you've got to take that for what it's worth. The way things are going in this country, does that mean they're necessarily voting Trump? Does that mean they're switching to Biden? I don't know, but I think if we couldn't predict, if nobody could predict 2016, 2020 might even be more of a crapshoot.
Speaking of crapshoot, that leads us to our next topic. The casinos are open, and I know Amy loves the casinos, to get out there and do some gaming. The casinos are opening across the state of Illinois, actually in about 5 minutes, Amy. So you will have to wear your mask, and there's plenty of hand sanitizer. It says there will be plenty of social distancing, which I guess means maybe they've taken out some machines or moved them about or roped them off. I don't know. But especially considering that casinos tend to attract an older audience. Any concerns about the spread of coronavirus in casinos, Amy?
Hold on, I'm sorry. I got to put my money in.
I thought it was a saw at first. I'm like, are you doing some construction work there?
Yeah, sorry. Well, it's hard to hear you over the sounds of this casino, but I'm not really concerned. Although, you know, yeah, I think when the older demographic who goes, the fact that you're sitting there for long periods of time, there's also a lot of smoking that tends to go on, or smokers who are there. There seem to be a lot of compounding factors for the casino crowd.
Well, I guess you can easily socially distance, maybe not at the tables, but at the machines you can socially distance. You're right. It's an older demographic. But it's like many other things now, you know, people are gathering in many ways right now in across the country, and casinos is just one of them.
And here is a What's on Tap after news at the top.
We're going to talk to a writer for the Washington Examiner and the New York Post who says that it's almost impossible to find people to be police officers in June of 2020, now July of 2020, that and more.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.